Friday, everyone. Hope you guys are tuning in and hear us okay. I think there's some tech issues on the side of Blog Talk Radio today, but hopefully you guys are picking us up okay. And, hey, regardless, we're excited to be with you. I know it's being recorded, so that's fine, too. So you've come in and tuned in to the FDN Fantastic Friday Call once again with you guys almost every week to talk about FDN, what's going on with the organization, with the company, also to support you guys with your questions. We love live callers. This is a live call-in show. We do have some questions that we're going to answer that people have written in or we pulled from the Facebook pages. But if you want to call in and talk to us, I think the phone lines are working. So number for that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Hit one on the keypad, and I will bring you on. You can ask a question, make a comment, whatever you want to do. Happy to have you. So I'm your host, Brandon Mollet, FDN practitioner, mentor, clinical advisor. I have my own practice as well. So it's all things FDN for me, and love it, love every minute of it. And my normal co-host is back with me this week, Mr. Brendan Vermeyer. So I'm glad to welcome him back again this week.
Yeah, buddy. Excited to be here, man. I mean, honestly, it's been however many weeks, and I know really the whole FDN team, we've all been, you know, hard at work and busy, and but yeah, super excited to be with my main homie over here today.
Indeed. We see you a lot, but not always hear you on the Friday call. So glad you post those updates and things like that. And I think you had a birthday recently, so happy 21st birthday.
Hey, thanks, man. Did you just say 21st?
Yeah, then about 21.
Yeah, something like that. I forget, have my first beer, you know.
Right, exactly. Congratulations on that. Oh, it's good. Well, I've got number 40 coming up in October, so that'll be a milestone, as they say. But I tell you what, you know, professionally and with, I think everything in life, even health, I think I'm, you know, probably feeling the best I have. So that's exciting to say. A lot of people said, "Oh, wait till you get 30. Wait till you get 35. See how you feel." But no, you just apply the principles and you get in the groove doing what you've been called to do, what your purpose is here, and it's life giving. It doesn't suck you dry like a job, other jobs can, or when you're not in your place where you need to be doing what you enjoy. And for me, it's doing FDN and helping people. So it'll bring some youth to your body, I feel like.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I could not agree more with everything you just said.
Indeed. So if you're in the course, you're heading that way. I know a lot of you guys are taking the course. You're making a career change. Like this is, we've had various backgrounds. It's pretty cool to see who comes through the course and where they're coming from, what they're doing. A lot of you guys are adding the FDN to what you're already trained in, personal training, nutrition, or massage, or chiropractic, whatever you're doing. But a lot of you are, that's one of my first questions, what brought you to FDN? What's your background? So a lot of you guys are making big career changes here. So this is the stepping stone to get in and make a shift. And I applaud that. I think it's awesome. I had to do the same thing. A lot of us have. Sometimes it's predicated by your own health story, something you've dealt with, something you've had a change with. You've learned that the natural way is very helpful, and you want to make that change. And so that's what I'm hoping for you is that when you make that change and you get out of that other career that maybe is not life-giving and health-building, that FDN is that for you. So not only are you helping other people, but you're doing the same thing. So there's this maybe agriculture analogy of sowing some seed, right? So we're helping other people, and it comes back to you. It's just how it works, right? Unwritten laws here of the universe and how things are set up. So it's a cool thing to get into. So I think you're going to have those additional benefits you don't always think about, a little like doing FDN. You might say, well, this person's got this problem, this symptom. But yet you do FDN and five other things improve in addition to those three things they came to you to help with. So just a good part of being part of this organization, being connected with the group, doing this work. So good things are coming to you guys. So keep up, keep moving through, and it'll be great. So, well, cool. A lot of people online here. So I'm seeing you guys fill up there. I think Blog Trust got their act together here. So good group of people on today. So that's great. Good to see you guys. It is July 26th. 2019, if you did not know, I'm going to put that timestamp on there, date stamp, so we have that for for the future, because we do record these calls. They are archived with notes, show notes there. So you just want to listen to calls. I hear a lot of people, trainees I talk to, say, I listen to the call, you know, every week. And they just download it and they listen to it regardless of what we're talking about. But if you're looking for something specific, you can just do a little search in there in FDN Connect in the top, and you'll see stuff come up with the course, other places in there, AFDMP probably will come up, of course, the Friday calls too. So might be something we're talking about. You want to get our take on it, it'll be in there recorded for you for as long as we have things, I guess maybe as long as we have Amazon, right? So I think we use some Amazon backups there. So, but yeah, so good stuff, good things going FDN here. We got some graduates to announce. We'll do that here in a second. But I wanted just to cover a few announcements, things that are going on. Maybe, Brandon, maybe have you go first, since AFTMP, there's always something going on there. And Brandy sort of filled in with you for you last week and gave a little update. But maybe you can give some more details about what we've maybe missed and what's upcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a lot going on in AFTMP land. So hopefully you guys have noticed already, but we've made a lot of upgrades, including we have a weekly AFDNP member newsletter that goes out. So, you know, the whole FDN community already gets a newsletter, but we have a separate and exclusive newsletter for AFDNP members. It goes out like Tuesday night or something like that, but it shows up in my email inbox every Wednesday. But that's a really great weekly resource because it recaps what's been going on, you know, that week and the week before. It tells you what's coming, you know, the coming week or even the coming weeks, I should say. Really just that way you're in the know on everything that's going on. But also we have like our referral list link. And, you know, I will say none of what it maps out is anything that's not also on FDN Connect under the AFDNP members. But really what we've been finding is a lot of our AFDNP members, they don't even know all the different benefits of the membership, or they're not fully utilizing all the different benefits of the membership. So we're really trying to use the newsletter and then also the weekly AFDNP Facebook Lives that we've been doing. Every Wednesday, it's like 4 p.m. Central, or, you know, do some math to convert the time zone. But we're really trying to improve communication so that way you guys know what's going on, all the benefits, really maximizing. I'd also like to say we sent out an interview, or not an interview, a survey asking for your feedback and, you know, basically just a few questions on what you like, what you don't like, how can we make the membership better, you know, have you attended webinars, stuff like that. And we were reviewing the feedback that we got in the meeting, our team meeting yesterday. And, you know, some interesting feedback. And one thing I did notice, I'm just going to throw it out there as sort of a, yeah, I don't know. But a lot of the feedback we got was kind of asking for stuff that we already provide. So that's where, yes, you know, we're doing our part to really enhance the communication so you guys know where to find everything and know where to look. But I also want to make sure I'm encouraging you guys to, you know, kind of be your own advocate and utilize what is already at hand. And there was some other little feedback in there that was helpful. Things like, who do you guys want to see on webinars? You know, we had some votes for like Dr. Bush or Dr. Grace Liu, or, you know, and, but the point being, as I always say, you know, I'm here to serve you guys. We're here to serve you guys. So communicate with us, but also make sure that you're listening and taking advantage of the communication resources we're providing. Because again, a lot of the feedback of like, we want this, we're actually already giving to you. And so again, just kind of make sure that you are utilizing, or for example, the referrals, you know, everybody's been wanting that referral program. Okay, well, we do offer that referral submission on the newsletter. It's on the website. You guys can literally sign up to be a part of the referral list. So that way we can drive customers to you and traffic towards you. We're also Facebook Live. That's a huge opportunity. And, you know, if there's one little bit of advice that I could give somebody, you know, that's trying to get their name and their brand out there, take advantage of free publicity. So I will say I'm, you know, a little surprised at the I don't want to say lack of participation in Facebook Live, but I want to see a little bit more because, again, that's just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of you and FDN, you know, because all we're doing is just talking about all things FDN. It's a great time. We've had a lot of fun with all the real results shows we've already done. Had a great show with Tracy Gowler this week. Hopefully you guys watched that. But, you know, we're as a community, we need to work together to get our names out there, our methodology out there. You know, we are a tribe. We are a movement. So anyways, let's see. I'm trying to think if there's – I mean, that's kind of the gist of it. You know, I could rattle off, like, what we have coming up with different webinars and stuff, but check out the newsletter. Check out Facebook Live. So I'd rather teach you guys how to fish than just hand you a fish all the time. So, but happy to be here.
True. That's true. Well, good stuff. Yeah, I think big thing, you're right. Anytime you have an opportunity to go someplace and to speak and have publicity, either speaking, you know, in front of a crowd or a group of people or a small group or a big group or electronically, digitally, whatever you want to say out that way, take advantage of that. You never know what's going to come from that. You really don't know. You may not pick up a new client. You maybe get one or two or something, say, well, that wasn't really worth it, maybe necessarily, but it's who maybe they possibly know or who they might be put in contact mm-hmm. with. They've seen you out there multiple times. It's amazing. So you just need to be out there at all times, and the more you do it, the more you practice, the better it sounds. But I know Brendan, and he won't throw any curveballs at you during an interview. He'll make it soft, he'll make it easy, make you comfortable during those calls. And there's no wrong answers, because you know FDN. If you graduated the course, you know FDN, you're practicing it. And we're not looking for you just to regurgitate everything Reed says and his mm-hmm. phraseology or mine or Brendan's or Brandy's or Tess's or whoever. It's your own voice and your own practice and what you're doing and what you're seeing. So that's exciting to hear that. So take advantage of that. Do it. Get out there. Be part of it. Let your voice be heard. It's all good stuff. It's very, I don't know, just do it. That's my big thing. Just do it. Do it if you're afraid, you're unsure. I've been doing some things this past few weeks here that were some new things for me that they're a little bit scary. But I got done with it and my nerves calmed down. I said, oh, okay, awesome. I did great. I did something hard today that was different for me. It's something I hadn't done before. I'm practicing something new. That was an accomplishment. So I had to look and reframe that, like, oh, man, I had to go through that. That was terrible. No, look at the next time it's going to be easier. And that's the way it is with FDN, right? So your first practical, maybe, it's a little bit challenging. It might be a little bit nerve-wracking. You think, boy, I'm not doing a very good job. And then you look back and you say, wow, look at that. I rocked it. And then the next one's going to be easier. You just keep going and moving forward. So don't be afraid. Jump out there and just do it. You're going to probably surprise yourself. That's what usually happens with most trainees, and I think most practitioners out there. Be surprised what comes out of your mouth, especially with the right crowd and the right people cheering you on and drawing that from you. So there you go. Hopefully we get some more people on there. That'd be awesome. All right. Good stuff. So graduates. Well, I tell you what. You guys check out the newsletter, too, from FDN. We'll get done with announcements and move to questions here in just a second. But Ultimate Health Coaching Success Summit. Recordings are available there. You can purchase those. I think that offer ends at midnight Saturday night, so tomorrow night. So if you're looking to grab those recordings, get them now. That was the big one. I want to make sure you guys knew about. I think that was a pretty successful summit in a lot of different ways, and it's good stuff. Continue to learn and grow. All right. Graduates, so one of the favorite times of the week. And we've been keeping a pretty good average here, 4 to 5 a week here at graduates. That's awesome. And there's plenty of opportunity out there for everyone. And we just want to say congratulations to these 5. And we're, again, throughout the world with FDNs, which is, again, pretty incredible to have. It's not just Southern California where FDN started, like a lot of other things start, but not just Southern California or New York or wherever, but it's all over the world, which is tremendous. It's sad that FDN has to be all over the world, that people need FDN, but at the same time, mm-hmm. we're glad to send you out there and have you represent and make some changes here to the world and maybe pave the way wherever you are. So we want to say congratulations to these 5. First one, Deanna Martin, and she's from Florida. Carrie Rail, and she's from Oklahoma. Troy Malin from Australia, Christy Engstrom from Texas, and Katrina Stottlemyre, and she's from California. So, guys, congratulations. Awesome job. Way to go. Good stuff. Love those calls. Love to get into the verbal finals with people. And we have a good time. You know, you've got to perform and do your thing when it comes to that role play. But we have a lot of time to talk there also and make sure all the loose ends are tied up a little bit, help you know sort of where to go next based on where you're at in that process. Reed does a lot of that on the PGI too, postgraduate interview. So I want to direct you to whatever you need because everybody comes into the course with different background, different desires, different needs. And so we're going to help direct you sort of where to go next. I get that question a lot. So what's the next steps? And so we want to guide you that way. AFTMP for sure is number one, but we want to do the best we can to help you be successful. It's not only a graduate that we want a successful practitioner out there enjoying the work we do. All right. Well, good stuff. So we'll jump into some questions now, and thanks for tuning in, guys. I see a lot of you guys on the switchboard there, so if you do want to make a comment or ask a question, just hit 1 there on your keypad, and I will bring you on. If you want to call in and ask a question, that number is 347-637-1378. All right, let's get started here. I'm going to grab one to begin with here. Here's an MRT question. So regarding MRT testing, the video indicates you can retest for sensitivities after a period of time. Can someone help me understand how the retest works from a practical standpoint? If someone is showing high sensitivities and they go through the protocols and help heal the gut that can cause them to be not sensitive to those foods and they could possibly reintroduce, is it a change in mindset as far as a true allergy that you have to avoid? So just wanted to get some more understanding. So, again, the question, if someone is showing high sensitivities and they go through the protocols to help heal the gut, can that then cause them to not be sensitive to those foods, and could they possibly reintroduce? Yeah, so overall question with MRT, and I think with many other food sensitivity testing, maybe there's some foods we think maybe like gluten possibly a person may want to stay off of forever, depending on their situation and your perspective. But MRT, just say in practicality, there's a couple ways you can look at the reintroduction side of things. First of all, yes, one reason why I think a person is going to have improvements with oral tolerance with foods is because when we work on the FDM process, it's a complete process, right? It's not just doing an MRT, pulling out those foods for 3 months, and then reintroducing them. There's much more to it. So you get much more benefit, and if the goal is to sort of reprogram the body, that immune system, that response, work on the health of the gut, and we know it's going to lead to better oral tolerance in generally everyone. The FDM process is a good job because it's addressing it from so many different angles. So the ability for you to eat more foods, have more variety, usually comes along with that. Now, how do we know that? So you can do a reintroduction if you want to, and reintroduction in the sense that you try one food at a time. Usually you're going to pick a food, maybe a yellow or a small reactive food on the MRT, and you're going to work that food in, eat it probably 2 or 3 times a day for 2 or 3 days, and then note how you feel. So if that food is not so good for you, you probably have some sort of reaction, some sort of symptom. It can be hundreds of different symptoms, maybe a recurrence from an old one, something that's new. You're going to feel something not so good because you're hopefully at this point in the game, you're good at listening to your body. So you're going to feel something and say, okay, this food's not so good for me right now. I'm not ready for this food. So you're going to take that food back out, maybe for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, maybe a longer time. That food's just not ready for you, not good for your body right now. Things have not been reprogrammed enough to the point that you can tolerate that food. Now, some people will go with the option of doing some retesting. That's a good option too. My approach to it is that the person is feeling quite a bit better, then I'm going to go ahead and try the reintroduction with just the foods and see if we can tell something just by the reaction once they work those foods in. 100% scientific? Not exactly, right? So a retest might be a more scientific way. And sometimes it takes a while before reactions are seen, or sometimes there's underlying things, damage that could be going on in the body. that you don't know unless you do some testing. So there is, you know, something to be said about the retesting side of things. But definitely retesting could be the way to go. Likely you're going to get a whole new diet with that because things are going to be changed. There'll be some that remain the same. Some new ones might potentially pop up. Could be less. You don't know. So definitely a couple different ways you can do this. More likely for me, more common for me really, is the reintroduction of the foods, because most of the time by the end of 3 months or 4 or 5 months working with a person, they're a whole lot better on all fronts. They're doing a ton better, symptom-wise at least. Retesting's looking very good. Hey, we've sort of done our job. So hopefully they can just go on and enjoy a maintenance protocol, good diet, rest that's appropriate for them, exercise, the stress reduction side of things, keep those things intact, maintenance when it comes to supplements, and hopefully we've got another happy customer that refers people into you, and things are good. So that's your ultimate goal, where you're trying to get to. And for, I'd say, the vast majority of my clients, that's where we're at after 3 to 6 months, or maybe on the six-month side. That's usually where we're going to be at. So let's go ahead and let them do that. Reintroduce the foods. Things are going good. As far as I can tell, they're doing well. Again, retests show things are looking nice also. So it's going to be individual as far as what next steps are. That's probably one of the bigger questions I get. Brendan probably does too. So, okay, we teach you the 90-day protocol, and you've got 3 months here. What do I do after that? So I mean, it's a topic to talk about too. But yeah, that's a couple of thoughts on that. Maybe a bigger answer than the person was looking for, but that's my initial thoughts. Brendan, what about you on that one? Or just even like next steps for people just in general?
Totally. I mean, I really like hearing all that because it's all about the critical thinking skills. I think you spoke to very well there. Because I think sometimes it's easy to almost, I don't know, with this whole FDN approach of we get really kind of rigid, and there's a lot of critical, because what am I trying to say? All these lab tests that we're running, they kind of are imperfect snapshots of a single moment in time, you know, biochemically and physiologically. And so it's not nearly as simple as just like, okay, you know, test and then, you know, retest and retest. There's going to be these fluctuations. So that's obviously where the clinical correlation and not treating the test results. But also, too, we don't want to limit our ability to help people effectively because we're overly reliant on that piece of paper. We love saying test, don't guess, and at the end of the day, the testing is really what is kind of our roadmap and guides us to where we're trying to get. But we want to be able to think critically and be able to navigate some of the complexities in between because, you know, you might only run testing every, 2 to 4 months, depending on what test and what you're looking at. And so, you know, if the client is having these weird reactions or whatever in the interim, what are you going to do? You know, throw your hands up like, well, we just have to test because otherwise I have no clue what's going on. Like with food sensitivity testing, you know, you could run two tests on the exact same day and the results might be semi-different. We can do eliminations, reintroductions. I do like really being able to apply a protocol and kind of stick with it all the way through until we do a retest. But part of it, too, is our clients don't always have the budget to just throw money out left and right every time we want that objective data. So I think if we're using some of the strategies that you're speaking to, Brandon, you know, I think we can really kind of maximize the outcome and maximize the, you know, the budget and how, you know, make that dollar go a little bit further. So, I like everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's I guess there's a balance here we're talking about. So let's say a person finishes a six-month plan with you. Let's say you work together for 6 months. You've ran your basic tests. Maybe you've done a couple of retests, we'll say. And as far as they can tell, they're feeling great. Like their main complaints are gone, even some additional ones that they didn't think about, didn't realize are gone. You've taught them about all the aspects of healthy living that you know, more or less. They at least understand diet and how their food affects them so much. They know how much rest they really need, the importance of that, how to maximize it. Exercise, they've found at least this point in their life, what they can do, what's best for them. They've been made aware of stressors in their life. They've worked on some of those. They've really got down to a maintenance protocol. You know, where does it end? So I think there's a balance here between what the client, because really if the client's coming to you with a problem and you try to educate them, right, a balance between, well, yeah, symptoms are one gauge of progress, but also retesting can be important too. So I think it's a balance you have to strike between that person and, like you said, trying to get perfect test results and running more and more and more labs and retesting, try to get things perfect, versus most people I run into, by the time you get to that point, I'm just going to trust that they're going to continue on a good maintenance protocol. Most of their symptoms are better. And as far as they're concerned, they're extremely happy with what they've learned and the progress they've made, and they're looking really good. And probably I won't talk to them for another year, very likely, unless they're doing some sort of retest or check-in with me. And so I don't know if you can force a person into running a lot more labs. You can definitely educate along the way and remind them, hey, we're going to do some retesting. This is the ideal thing. Lay down those principles. But it's a very individualized, organic thing. I mean, some people are just – there's not going to go any further. Like they don't really want to go to that next level. They're happy with where they're at right now, and it's a good place. And that's what they came to you for. So I don't think you're doing wrong if you, can't get them to do a third set of tests or look a little deeper into some other labs. I don't think that's like you failed as a practitioner or a business person, because they're happy. They've gone well. Now, other people you talk to and you work with, I've had some clients I've worked with over a year, because there's a lot more going on. It's a slower process for some people. It's more challenging for some people. There's more complexities to it. And usually those are the people that have been through multiple doctors, multiple natural practitioners, and they finally found somebody that really listens and really hangs with them and checks in on a regular basis, and they're seeing some better results because of the way that we look at things. And those people, yeah, it can go on for a while, and that's okay too. I think it's what each person is hoping to get out of working with you as a practitioner. And, I think if you feel super strongly that, hey, we need to make sure we retest here, and I don't feel like I've done, it's not responsible for me not to have you retest, maybe we need to go a little further, you can have that conversation. So I guess the point I'm making there is really individualized, just like everything else, how far a person goes. I mean, could you go through the five labs, go through them twice, you're feeling a lot better? But then, okay, I want to run an HTMA, I want to run an OatPen, I want to run a mercury tri-test, I want to run a bunch of other ones. Could you go further and deeper and get in some deeper things? You could. And some people are going to want to do that. Other people are going to be happy as can be. They've found a sustainable lifestyle that's going to build health the rest of their lives. I think it's fine. I think you can leave it there.
Yeah, I like that.
That's my experience with it. Now, I think it's great for people to come back to you every year or 2 years and run a few labs. I think that'd be great. I think if they understand really what we're doing, and I guess we really can't use the word preventative, I guess, but if they understand what we are doing, what we're trying to look and see where malfunction starts and where it's rooted and when things shift and change, then hopefully they would come back and retest every few years. I know we do as a family. We're always running some sort of test and checking on things, and it always yields answers. Especially, when things maybe are not so great, something's going on, run a lab, see what's going on. You're going to find some answers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So just some thoughts there. I think it kind of ties in with this, like where do I go next? What do I do? What's enough? I think a lot of that's going to be how you just want to, you set things up and structure things, how you talk to your client, and then what they're wanting to get out of it.
Yeah,
and you'll know that.
Client-centered. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Cool. Okay. All right. Well, we've got about half an hour left in the call today. So if you do want to call in or make a comment on that, maybe you've been doing FDN for a while and you have a way, an exit strategy or a maintenance program, whatever you want to call it, that you move a client into once you've done that work, hey, it'd be awesome if you want to share it with us, your thoughts. Brenda and I don't know everything, so we like to reach out to the community and pull from the community what you guys are doing, what works. I've picked up tips and tricks along the way for years doing this work. I've made a couple changes to the way I do things in the last 4 or 5 months, and it's been great. And ideas came from you guys, having a conversation with the medical director consult, a verbal final, you learn how somebody else does something, and that's a great idea. I'm going to work that into what I do. So, but if you want to ask a question or make a comment, 347-637-1378, or if you guys that are on the line right now, just hit one on the keypad and come on, and we'll bring you on for that call. Oh, good group today. Awesome, guys. Hello. How cool. All right. Let's see. I've got more. Brendan, did you have one burning question you had? You want me to just grab something off my list?
You can grab off your list. I've got Facebook pulled
okay.
up if we need
yep.
any.
Okay. All right. This is the general question. I think it was on Facebook. I don't know that we knew exactly what this person was asking, but I'll take a stab at it here. So what is the process for reviewing lab work as a new student? Lab says it goes back to FDN then, question mark. So this is coming from the trainee forum, so we're talking on the trainee side of things. So when you are in the course, you're going to run a 205 and a 101 on yourself, or equivalent if you're out of the country. So you're going to run those two labs. So those labs, they are ran on Reed's account. It's not on your actual BioHealth account. It's on Reed's account. So because he is, you know, in some ways you are his student / pseudo client when it comes to this, because you're going to, when you do the FTN course, you work on yourself too. And that leads usually to much better health as you're moving through the course, which is a really cool thing to see and hear those testimonies at the verbal final, how FTNs improve their health even quite a bit. So you ran those two tests. So those results, those will come back to FDN. And so once you're through all the videos, you've worked through all the modules, it will notify us that you're done with those. And then you'll be able to book in for your results and recommendation session over those labs. So a mentor, whoever you book in with, they will review that 205 and 101 with you. So those will be part of that big R&R, which is always a blast to get to do that session. I enjoy those very much. So that session will be reviewing your labs, so your own protocol interpretation. Plus, we'll go a little deeper into the background, not typically things you won't cover a lot of times with your own clients. You're going to go in the background FDN practitioner stuff and answer some questions. It'll be a little different session, but more or less it's going to be an outline for how you're going to do an R&R for your practicals and probably in the future with your own clients. So you have those. Now, if you choose to do something beyond the 205-101, which we always recommend for your health improvement, also just you're going to have your clients be doing these tests. So it's kind of good that you've done your own stool samples and urine samples and gotten a blood draw, things like that. It's always going to be beneficial to you as a practitioner to have gone through that and experienced getting test results back and implementing those things. So if you run additional labs that would allow you to run while you're in the course, those will be ran generally through the medical director program. And so when you order through the medical director program, with that order, you have a consultation that comes with that. And so that consultation is typically a half an hour. It may be with the mentor that you had your R&R with. That works out. Sometimes it's nice to have that connection because they already know your case and they're sort of adding on to it. Other times, depending on how the schedule works and how things are going, it might be just one of the other people that do it, other mentors that do that. So maybe I might do it with you, whoever's assigned to. So additional labs will be done in that manner, and so you sort of tack on the additional information to the 205-101 that you have there. Sometimes you're really awesome and you're really reaching for the stars there, and you run all five labs in the very beginning, which is great. And sometimes you have five labs to review during the R&R, so it takes a little more time to do that, but that happens also. So regardless, we will have those results. We'll keep and share those with you, and then in some way you'll have a review over that, and you'll have your dress protocol adjusted or created for you based on those lab results. So that's simple. And then once you graduate, then, hey, you can do what you want to. You've got all sorts of labs you can run and as many as you want, and it's really good. So we'll let you loose on that once we've made sure you're safe and not going to hurt anybody with the information. No, you wouldn't anyhow, but you know what I mean. So so I don't know. I'm hoping that answers the question. I don't know. Is there a different angle I'm missing here, Brendan?
No, I thought that was really well mapped out. And honestly, I'm kind of glad we did like a trainee thing because, I think sometimes it can, even though we do have everything very well mapped out in the course and, you know, through the onboarding process, nonetheless, though, I mean, I remember you know, when I first signed up and everything, and it is a lot. There's a lot of information and moving parts, and it can be a little bit overwhelming, and especially when we're super excited to jump all in. So I'm glad we kind of tackled that. But no, I thought that was pretty well mapped out, and hopefully some trainees are a little bit more clear.
Hopefully so. But yeah, that's I guess probably the best place to go for questions like that would be, slipped my mind here. There's a page there that has all the videos on there. So all the, well, I'll have to bring it up and let you guys know in a second. But I've actually think I made a couple of the videos. Just the course logistics page. That's what it is. Course logistics. So all the information is there. Make sure you review that. I think we've got the details covered pretty well. So yeah, check that one out if you're moving through the course and have some questions. All right, that's good. Next one here. Any callers? Nope, no callers on the line yet, so that's just fine. We'll keep moving on. All right, question about DIM Pro. Would you put it in a protocol where the client is not estrogen dominant or having weight gain issues, but rather for general steroidal hormone balance? Plan to put Adaptaline in there already. 40-year-old male with low testosterone, high progesterone, 205A. Also, perfect cortisol pattern with relative rise in the morning. Thoughts? Well, good. That's a little more information than what we usually get on a question like this, because we'd like to have as many angles as possible there. So Brendan, you're expert in this area, that's for sure. So what would you do? Would you do DIM, even if you don't have something maybe glaringly obvious on estrogen, at least on a lab result?
So on a 205, if estrogen is high?
Well, the person was not even estrogen dominant, but they said they had, as a male with 40-year-old male with low testosterone and high progesterone, it doesn't sound like estrogen is high. Would it be okay to use DIM in a situation like that?
I don't know that I probably would. You know, I was talking to Carrie about this recently, and, you know, one of the things we want to kind of think about with, like, detox, but even more specifically, maybe, like, you know, hormone detox in this regard, because we have these different phases, you know, arguably 0, 1, 2, 3, or, you know, phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 are pretty well, you know, agreed upon or whatever. But ultimately, you know, you've got to think about, okay, so we have hormone synthesis occurring in the different glands, the different endocrine glands throughout the body. And then we have this metabolism phase 1 where it's hydroxylated and turned water soluble, which also makes it a more reactive radical molecule that can do damage. And the same logic applies to pretty much all toxins. So a lot of times after going through phase 1, they're actually more dangerous, more reactive, more oxidative, you know, whereas then phase 2, when we conjugate it, whether that's, you know, with glutathione or methylated or whatever pathway it's going down, okay, it kind of stabilizes it, but that happens in the liver, and then it's got to be dumped into the bile, you know, and then dumped into the intestines, and then you got to be able to poop it out. And then things like beta-glucuronidase can inhibit that. So, you know, just kind of mapping out the piping system for you guys per se, because if you kind of think about it, if you think about like a bathtub full of water, and that, you know, the water represents like the hormone level. Okay, well, you've got the drain, which might represent like your phase 2 detox or something, but then phase 3 might be like the piping system, you know, underneath the bathtub that basically connects your bathtub into like the sewer lines. So when you're working on the detox pathways, you kind of want to work from, you know, the last step to the first step. So you don't want to start by upregulating phase 1. Because if you have compromised phase 2 or phase 3, all you're doing is then creating, you know, this increase in these highly reactive radical molecules through phase 1. But if you don't have proper phase 2 and phase 3, it doesn't have anywhere to go. And so it could potentially exacerbate the problem. So like with DIM, you know, DIM is totally a phase 1 facilitator. It's really just facilitating increased phase one detox. And it's great, you know, don't get me wrong, DIM is a great compound, it has some antiviral properties, but my point being, let's work on the GI health and making sure we're going to the bathroom regularly, you know, kind of working on the gut, working on the liver, you know, and then once that's a little bit more under control, maybe considering like the phase two pathways, and then finally phase one. But if the dude doesn't even have, you know, elevated estrogen, or he doesn't have estrogen dominant related symptoms, I probably wouldn't be giving him, you know, any DIM. But then to like, okay, low testosterone. So I don't know. We would really have to see these results and then, you know, see other results and have a complete FDN investigation to kind of put that together. Because yeah, by itself of like low testosterone with high progesterone. So instead of thinking, how do we treat that or teach them how to treat themselves, if I'm, you know, being proper with my language, you know, that's not so much the question as much as we need to be asking, why is this going on? Well, let's dig deeper and uncover, you know, some healing opportunities here. So yeah, I don't know. I could blabber on and on, but I think we need more information to be able to navigate that. But no, I wouldn't give a phase one facilitator right out of the gate. That was a long answer.
Well, I figured it would be. That's why I threw it to you, because you're definitely an expert on this side of things. And that was a great outline of detoxification there, just the basics of it. So there's a lot to it. It's not just, oh, I'm taking this supplement for liver detox. There's a lot of things that goes on with it. So it is that big 30,000-foot view, which we don't really have here, which is usually how it goes with these questions like this. I try not to avoid them. I feel like we can answer them, at least how to think about them. But, yeah, we don't have the biggest view here, like you're saying, exactly. And it's not, and because we don't have cookie-cutter protocols, just to tell you, oh, in this case, yeah, here's the check boxes. If these four things are so, then recommend DIM automatically. It's not how we work. There's some of that, right? There's things you think about through that, but it's looking at the whole case and collectively. I mean, maybe a situation where you think, well, this guy's constipated, has a standard American diet. Let's start there first. That's going to be maybe enough to make a big difference with detoxification. So, this goes back to the principle, just because you can test for it and say, oh, this could be beneficial, doesn't mean you always recommend it. That's when we get protocols with 25 different supplements, right? And we get really supplement heavy. So there's a balance here. So you want to look at that, you know, close view, real zoomed in view, looking at all the details and little check boxes and the values and all those things. Then you have to back up and look at the big picture. You put in the all of dress, all the things you know about that person, and then look at the supplementation and say, okay, is there a lot of overlap here? Is there some places where I maybe don't really have to have this? And so that's the art part of it, is crafting that protocol. And then the biggest key is making sure that person is staying on it, and you walk that out with them, and you monitor how things go when you make adjustments and tweaks along the way. People think, well, how could – I mean, I do every 2 weeks for about 45 minutes for my clients, whatever program that they do. That works really well for me. I think I'm able to keep my arms around that person through that time period. You think, wow, how can you talk for 45 minutes? You really can. I rarely have any sessions that are not used, that people are – we're not covering some kind of really practical thing or some adjustment to it, because going through the FDN process, the body changes pretty quickly. For most people, a lot of things are going on, so there will be some adjustments that need to be made. So that's where checking in with that person is going to be important. So if you did decide to go with them in this case, well, you need to do it supervised in a way. Check in with that person, how things are going, all the signs looking very good. Maybe in this case, potentially maybe some spot testing of the hormones might be important for this person. Again, we don't have the complete picture here, even some numbers we don't even have. So we don't know what high progesterone is in that person's mind. Is it 2 points over the FDN optimum, or is it 3 times the FDN optimum? So hopefully that's been some good principles laid down. I do like the detox rundown through that. I've kind of fallen in love with the idea of the gallbladder and bile and all that process. a lot from Quicksilver and some of the things I've learned through some of their training with detoxification. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And
who knew?
Fun fact that everybody should write down, with phase three, you know, of being able to actually transport, you know, the conjugated, you know, toxin or hormone or whatever it is out of the cell and, you know, move it onwards on its little path. Fun fact, curcumin inhibits phase three detox, whereas St. John's wort facilitates phase three detox. So if you're really focused on like a true cellular detoxification, you don't want to be using curcumin at that point in time. Also, milk thistle. Fun fact, milk thistle, which is always used for liver support and in kind of quote-unquote detox, milk thistle also has some evidence to inhibit phase three, whereas St. John's wort, which anybody that's ever looked at like medication contradictions, like on the Natural Medicine Database or whatever, you'll always see a lot of contradictions with St. John's wort. And the reason why is it actually upregulates phase three, and so it messes with the pharmacokinetics of different pharmaceuticals. So if you're trying to enhance like a detox type of, protocol or system or whatever, St. John's wort might be something to kind of consider. But again, you know, make sure they're going to the bathroom and stuff first, because, you know, you got to have those binders in place, have the proper bile flow and proper, you know, bowel movements first. Again, kind of think about, you know, working from the bottom up, like I was saying. So anyways, just a little fun facts that I thought might be helpful.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we have about 12 minutes. Ooh, it's getting down to the wire here, guys. 12 minutes left in the call today. So if you do have a question, you want to say hello, boy, now's the time, because we can burn through the minutes on an answer here. So definitely jump in there. No takers, then I will move on. So let's see here. Here's a quick one. Maybe I've answered this one before. Hopefully not, though. Hello, everyone. I was wondering how to order biobotanical research products for clients. There seems to be no order form for biobotanical research like there is for Biomatrix and Ultralife. I'm assuming I emailed the individual company with an order form. Is that right? Sorry, I felt like this is a stupid question. No stupid questions ever. So good question. So ordering supplements, right. So, yeah, we don't have a spreadsheet Excel document like the one for Biomatrix and Ultralife for biobotanical research, but you definitely can order from them through the website, call directly. We usually place a fairly big order for the office every month, and so we just make a phone call and talk to the nice people there at Biobotanical Research, and that's awesome, and get our order placed that way. You can, you know, I think you can drop ship to your client also, I believe is how it works. I don't always do that, have help with that. Drop ship to the client, then you can bill your client for that later. But, yeah, you'll have a wholesale account with that company, awesome company, and their products. So, yeah, I think that answers it there. So, good company. We love them. They do good products and good work and good education.
Love me some BBR. They've got a really great – process and team. So if you just, I mean, literally you could just go to the website and, you know, send them a link or a email. I think, what's his name? Marlick, I think is like their, you know, new account specialist or whatever. But believe me, they'll get you taken care of, get your practitioner account set up, get you access to a practitioner-only password-protected resource site that is just full of, you know, research and clinical education and blah, 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 blah. So, they'll take care of you.
Good stuff. Awesome. Another quick one here. So 205 directions say not to eat or drink 1 hour before. Is this just the first collection or is that a rule for all four? I'm going to say it's a rule for all four. So as much as you can, you want to have a clean sample. That's just with any testing. Just across the board, follow the instructions that they say to get the best results. So in this case, yeah, don't eat or drink 1 hour before. That's a great idea. You just want, in that case, just, if you can say it this way, clean saliva, just clean spit. You don't want, you know, mayonnaise or mustard or a drink or residue from whatever you consumed in your mouth that could cause them to have some trouble with that sample. So just a clean, more or less a clean mouth, just pure saliva as much as you can muster and create. That's what we're looking for there. So nice and clean. So I'd say, yeah, no food or drink an hour before that would be the ideal, definitely. All right. Hey, we got a caller. I've seen this area code before. Let's see who it is. I got 775 area code. What's your name?
Hi, it's Deanna. I'm still
hey,
in
Deanna.
Just because I'm busy driving my feet doing other stuff. But I don't know if you guys would have any insight on this. This is kind of a neuro issue with a gentleman I've been working with that's had rapid progression of dementia, and a recent MRI showed that it's possible normal pressure hydrocephalus, and we've made really good, you know, back it up kind of progress, changing his diet and everything. All the inflammatory stuff has gone down. His digestion has come up. His physical abilities to walk and move are all better, but his cognitive status is still slipping. And but the only way to tell is to do a spinal puncture and drain some spinal fluid out of the system and then assess whether they do better or not. If they do significantly, then next step is actually putting in a spinal shunt or a cranial shunt. So, but I don't know if you guys have ever had any experience with anybody that's gone through that. You know, it's like if we stay the course, we may, you know, I know the inflammation has gone down and could, you know, improve doing manual lymphatic drainage and things like that to help, you know, whether we could slowly drain that intracranial pressure versus the risk of spinal puncture and cranial shunting.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's an outdoor one for you.
Okay, okay. On that one, in my initial response, yeah, I haven't had much experience with that particular procedures, things that you're talking about. I'm glad to hear there's been improvement with what you've done so far. I think you maybe have mentioned him on another call before, so awesome job with that. I mean, it would be nice, you know, become a NUSC graduate and be able to do some other testing on the gentleman. That would be probably helpful to get some insight into things. We never know how much influence that's going to make. As far as those medical procedures and exactly how to navigate those, I don't have too much experience with that. Brendan might have more, but maybe one resource I'm thinking about, FD and Angela Chapman with Age on Purpose. She works a lot in that population group and with some of those neurological things. Her website, Facebook page, might be a good resource there. That's one that popped in my mind. She focuses on more on that group. So that's my tipper on this one. I don't know, Brendan, how about you? Anything to add?
What were the main complaints?
What is that?
What were your client's main complaints?
Oh, he initially was just failing. I mean, everything, all motor function, cognitive function, but now physically he's doing much better, but cognitively he's, you know, lost immediate memory, problem solving. He has PhD in mathematics and statistics, and he can't count backwards from 100, you know, by sevens, that sort of, you know, the testing. So, you know, there's been certain improvements in some of it, but it fluctuates. I think his mold toxicity was part of this thing. It has accumulated over his life, but then he also went through congestive heart failure and pulmonary edema, where they drained a liter of fluid off of each lung. That was at the beginning of January. So all that increased fluid in the system, whether that overflowed into, you know, cranial pressure, that his system was just got so backed up. But no, I worked with him a year ago for diabetic things and neuropathy, and he was losing his ability to walk, and we turned everything around. He was doing really well, and the gal that works with him that helps him in his home basically convinced him that, you know, it was a miracle. He's all better, and it's too much to pay for Deanna to keep coming. And they went back to their standard American crappy diet, and that's when he ended up in CHF and, you know, all this other stuff. Over, that only took like 3 months, you know, after, you know, he was doing really well. But no, I mean, he's an elderly man, and it's like, whether, I mean, maybe you could just go with a philosophical question. You have an 85-year-old that's going, I mean, he will, if we stop doing what we're doing, you know, managing his diet and stuff, he goes into a facility, he's going to eat, you know, gluten, dairy, sugar, all that. He'll, you know, digress fairly quickly. He's going to eventually die. He's not going to recover his memory. So do you just go that way, or do you do something more aggressive that potentially this normal pressure hydrocephalus is a reversible state for dementias, and do something more radical, which could, you know, cause him to have a stroke, you know, cause him to have an infection, you know, brain or spinal infection. You know, there's all the pretty scary things, but the man's going to die anyway, one way or the other. Do we let him go and be slow, or do we try to help him if there's a possibility that the procedure could work and give him a higher quality of life, but he might have a bad consequence or death going through the procedure.
Yeah.
I don't know that you've got much of a choice here, Deanna, but it sounds like, you know, sorry, Brendan, to interrupt you there. I just, looking at this, doesn't sound like this is, you know, it's not like it's your father or somebody where you have a lot of control over. So I think we can suggest a lot of things, but some people just won't be able to be helped by us because of their circumstances, their situation. It's an unfortunate thing, and we want to try to help everybody, but I think you fundamentally you go back to what you're doing diet-wise for that person and do more lab testing, see what FDN can show up, and then also you've got to balance it with the medical system and what that person would want to do, what the family wants them to do, what's right. So I think it's just in short, there's just a balance here that we have to strike between medicine and FDN. And you'll find yourself, all you guys will if you haven't already, find yourself in that position where you have to balance between, okay, modern medical system and that. It's wonderful in a lot of ways, a lot of things you should do and you need to do and take advantage of. Other times you have to, you do some FDN or do a combination of both of those. So I personally am pretty optimistic and it goes help for anybody, no matter what their situation is. And exactly, I mean, you know, if the person's 85 years old and could die, what would it hurt? But it just sounds like your hands are tied in this situation here, which I hate. Yeah, so tough one there. But definitely other people that are, you know, maybe younger that we can certainly help. So Dan, just encourage you to get through the FDN course, knock out some of those practicals, and get out there and help people the FDN way. So I appreciate your call, you calling in. Just a few seconds left in the call. I did forget one big announcement, and we're going to do it every time until we get there, the FDN conference, guys. So if you don't know about it, November 1st through the 3rd this year, got my plane tickets, hotel, everything's ready to go. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great one there. Go to FDNconference.com, check out the details. Definitely one of the top things you want to do being an FDN practitioner is attend the conference and be part of what's going on there. It's great for you on every single level. Looking forward to being with you guys next time. So, all right. Well, that's the call for today, guys. Thanks for the calls. You guys listening in. Deanna, thanks for your question. Brendan, as always, man, thanks for being with me and helping me out, doing such a good job for us. And talk to you guys next week. See you then.
See you guys.